بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم ووالاهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما من دابة في الأرض إلا على الله رزقها ويعلم مستقرها ومستودعها كل في كتاب مبين وقال جل جلاله الله يبسط الرزق لمن يشاء ويقدر وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الرجل ليحرم الرزق بالذنب يصيبه وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لأنس بن مالك رضي الله تعالى عنه يا بني إذا دخلت على أهلك فسلم يكون بركة عليك وعلى أهل بيتك صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected علماء اكرام, respected elders and brothers, one reality which we all have to concede to and we all have to accept is that our lives in this world will be riddled with challenges, with tests, trials and difficulties. This world has been called Darul Ibtila, the abode, the home of trials, tests and tribulations. This is the intrinsic nature, the inherent nature of this dunya, and this is the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَةِ. Allah says, in this world, in your worldly life, I will try you, I will test you, and I'll put you through various types of difficulties. That is why we find throughout our lives, from time to time, we all of us encounter some sort of difficulty, some sort of challenge, some sort of test, which we have to now cope with. And, my dear brothers, we find with the current situation, not only in this country, but around the world, a very common complaint that we hear, or a very common challenge that many people face nowadays, is the issue of financial difficulty, financial woes, financial constraints. I mean, how many times we have heard people talking about not breaking even, things are tight, I'm not coming out, inflation is on the rise, the cost of living has gone very high, and other such words that we've been hearing lately. On the one hand, we have the others out there who have been deprived of the profound teachings of Quran and Sunnah. So when these people face this kind of challenge and difficulty, because they do not believe in وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا, that Allah Ta'ala is the creator of Allah, of everything, and Allah has taken the obligation to provide for every single living thing. Because they do not believe in اللَّهُ يَبْسُدُ رِزْقَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ وَيَقْدِرُ, that Allah gives who He wishes to give, and Allah takes away, Allah holds back from whomsoever He wishes to hold back from. Because they do not believe in فَبْتَهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ رِزْقًا, they do not believe that if you are looking for wealth, if you are looking for rozi and sustenance and risk, then seek it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because these people do not believe in this, so when they face this difficulty, then they resort to certain tactics, certain practices, which in their eyes they see as a solution to the problem, but many times only compounds the problem. So be it interest-bearing loans, taking out interest-bearing loans, or be it fraud, embezzlement, theft, and sometimes a person just wants to run away from all of his difficulties, and a person commits the ghastly act of suicide and taking his own life. So this, as believers who have, alhamdulillah, we have been blessed with the teachings of Quran and Sunnah, we find that in Quran and Sunnah there is a solution, there is a guideline to all the problems and all the challenges that a person may face. And when I say problems and challenges, we do not only refer to the problems and the challenges a person may face in the akhirah, or a person may face in the qabr, but rather even the problems and the challenges of this world. We find that in Quran and Sunnah, there is some sort of teaching, there is some sort of guideline for us to help us cope with that challenge and help us overcome the difficulty. And likewise, regarding this issue of financial woes, financial constraints, likewise, we find numerous teachings in Quran and Sunnah, which if a person will sincerely act upon a person will sincerely inculcate in his life, then inshallah this will bring some sort of ease and alleviate some of the financial difficulty that a person is going through. And today, my dear brothers, I wish to share with you some of these profound and yet very simple teachings of Quran and Hadith, which if a person will inculcate, then inshallah it will bring an end to his difficulty. But before commencing and speaking about these things, there are two important issues which we have to understand. Two very important issues for us to understand and comprehend. Number one, when it comes to our financial lives, then instead of us looking to acquire greater amounts, instead of us wanting to fatten our bank balances, rather than that, we should be looking to bring barakah into our wealth, bring barakat and blessings into our wealth, the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The aim should not be to acquire big amounts, but the aim should be to attract the barakat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into our wealth. Because a large sum of money, a large amount of money, but if that wealth and that money is devoid of barakat, of blessings on the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you will find in a very short span of time that money will be used up, or the money will be used in worthless avenues. A person will spend and spend and spend, and then he will look back and think to himself, what happened to all that money? And he will have nothing to show for it. So when there's absence of barakah in wealth, then that wealth will disappear very, very quickly. But a small amount of wealth, when it has barakah in it, barakat means al-khayrul kathir, that which has a lot of goodness in it, it has a lot of good in it. So a small amount of money, but that amount of that money has attracted barakah, has the barakat of Allah, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon it, then that small amount will go a very, very long way. A person, inshallah, when his wealth has barakah, then all his needs will be taken care of. That is why we find in the teaching of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that Allah's Nabi would not make dua for increase in wealth, but he will make dua, وَبَارِكْ لِي فِي مَا أَعْطَيْتِ وَاللَّهُ bless me, give me barakat in whichever, whatever you have given me. Amongst the du'as of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allahumma ghfir li dhanbi, wasi' li fi dari, wa barik li fi rizqi. Oh Allah, bless me in my rozi, in my risk and my sustenance. That is why we find in the life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and likewise in the lives of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Agreed, at that time there was not a lot, but the little that they had went a very, very long way. Hazrat Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the great companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mentions that in the Battle of Khandaq, a very trying and difficult time for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, for the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, he says that, I noticed that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was starving, he was hungry. So he says, I went home and I asked my wife, do we have anything small, a small meal to prepare for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that perhaps we can serve to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? So the wife replies that we have some barley, and we have a kid, a baby goat. So if you slaughter a baby goat, we can use the meat to prepare a meal, and the little bit of barley we have, we can make it into dough, and we can make some bread and serve it to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu goes, he slaughters the kid, he skins it, he prepares the meat, cuts up the meat, and puts it into the pot and onto the fire, and begins to cook that meat. And with that barley, he now prepares the dough. And now his wife tells him, now you go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and very quietly tell Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we have prepared a very, very small meal for you and for a handful of people. For you and a handful of people. So Jabir radiallahu goes to Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam and whispers to Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, Allah's Nabi, we have prepared a small and humble meal for you and a handful of people. So you and choose a group amongst your Sahaba, come to my house and I will serve this meal to you. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, instead of just speaking to a few people, Allah's Nabi makes a declaration in the army. Inna Jabiran qad sana'a lakum su'ran fa hayya hala bikum. That certainly Jabir has prepared a meal for you. So you, the entire army, let us proceed to the house of Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Jabir radiallahu is now worried that what are we going to do? The food is only being prepared for a handful of people, and here the entire army is coming to eat. So Allah's Nabi tells Jabir, do not worry. Do not take the pot off the fire and do not begin to bake that dough into bread until I come. Jabir goes, he tells his wife what has happened. His wife begins to worry. Allah's Nabi comes. He goes to that pot of food. فَبَصَكَ فِيهِ وَبَارَكَ. Allah's Nabi makes dua for barakah. He makes dua for barakah and he blows over that food. And then he goes to that dough. فَبَصَكَ فِيهِ وَبَارَكَ. He goes there, he makes dua for barakah, and he blows over the dough. And now he tells, O Jabir, prepare the bread and begin to serve the meal. Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu says, on that day, a pot of food is prepared only for a handful of people. Uqsimu billah, it is qasam min Allah, on that day, 1,000 people. 1,000 people ate from that pot of food. And the more amazing thing was they came, they ate, and they went away. And still, after they had left, our pot was brimming with food. And the dough and the bread was dough has not been touched. So this medieval is what we call barakah, where a little goes a long way. So the point, first point for us to understand, instead of us looking to acquire big amounts and large amounts and fatten our bank balances, we should be looking to do those things that will attract the barakat, the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into our lives, into our wealth. And the second thing, my dear brothers, the teachings of Quran and Sunnah are such, whether the teaching I'm going to share with you or all the teachings of Quran and Sunnah are such, that the potency of these teachings depend upon how sincere you are at the time when you act upon it, and how much of yaqeen, certitude and conviction you have at the time of practicing upon it. So when we will hear these teachings of Quran and Sunnah, and we will inculcate in our life, inculcate it in our lives and act upon it with total sincerity and full yaqeen that my Allah has promised me such a thing. Allah's Nabi has promised me this and this. And I have full yaqeen that the promises of Allah and the promises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam are true. So act upon these teachings with full ikhlas, full sincerity and full yaqeen, conviction and certitude in the promises of Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the first thing, my dear brothers, these teachings are very, very simple. All of these teachings are not beyond any one of us. It is simple, it is possible for every single one of us to act upon these teachings. The first one is something very, very simple. That is, whenever we enter our homes with the greeting of Assalamu alaikum, with the greeting of Salam. Allah's Nabi told Anas bin Malik, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Ya Bunay, O my beloved son, my lad, إِذَا دَخَلْتَ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِكَ, when you enter your home, فَسَلِّمْ, then greet, then enter your home with the greeting of Salam. If you will do so, what does Allah promise you? يَكُنْ بَرَكَةً عَلَيْكَ وَعَلَىٰ أَهْلِ بَيْتِكَ. This will ensure that you will have barakah, blessings in your life, and Allah will bring blessings into your home. Quran Sharif says, فَإِذَا دَخَلْتُمْ بُيُوتًا فَسَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ تَحِيَّةً مِّنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ مُبَارَكَةً طَيِّبًا. When you enter your homes, make salam. Allah says, salam is تَحِيَّةً مِّنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. It is a greeting that has come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مُبَارَكَة. It is a greeting that is full of blessings. It brings blessings. طَيِّبًا. It is a pure greeting. Regarding this issue of salam, we read in a hadith that when Allah ta'ala created Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, that Allah ta'ala told Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, O Adam, go to that group of malaika that are sitting there and tell them and say to them, Assalamu alaikum. And listen very, very carefully to what reply they give to you. Because the reply they give to you will be your greeting and be the greeting of your progeny till the day of Qiyamah. So Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, complying with the instruction, goes to that group of malaika in Jannah. And he says, Assalamu alaikum. And they reply to him, Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. May Allah's peace and may Allah's mercy be upon you. So the greeting of salam came from Jannah. Likewise, we read in Quran Sharif, in the Akhirat, may Allah give us all Jannah. The greeting of the people of Jannah is tahiyyatuhum fiha salam. The greeting of the people of Jannah amongst one another is the greeting of salam. Likewise, the greeting of the malaika to the people of Jannah is wal malaika yadkhuluna alayhim min kulli bab salamun alaykum. The greeting of the malaika to the people of Jannah is assalamu alaykum. And likewise, on that beautiful day, when Allah will expose His countenance to all the people of Jannah, Salamun qawlam min Rabbir Rahim, Allah will greet the people with salam. So salam is a greeting that came from Jannah. It is salam, it is a greeting that will go back to Jannah. It is a greeting of the malaika, it is a greeting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Allah's Nabi told Anas, O Anas, when you enter your home, greet with the greeting of Assalamu alaikum wa barakah in your home. Just as in Jannah, there is nothing but prosperity and barakah. Inshallah, we hope that a person in his home in this world, he uses the greeting of Jannah. Just as Jannah only has blessings and prosperity, inshallah, Allah will also fill his home with greeting and fill his home with blessings and prosperity. The first simple advice, my dear brothers, when we enter our homes, simple advice, enter with the greeting, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. And look at how wholesome and how profound the teachings of Quran and Sunnah. May Allah forgive us for looking for guidelines from others. Look at the teaching of Quran and Sunnah. The Hadith Sharif mentions, when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would enter his home, he will make salam in such a way that the person who was awake could hear the salam and he could respond to the salam. And the person who was asleep would not be disturbed by the salam made by Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So important adab that we keep in front of us when we enter our homes, and greet in such a tone that the person awake can hear the salam and reply, and those who are sleeping are not disturbed by our salam. So the first thing. The second thing, my dear brothers, is that we have to inculcate in our lives the taqwa, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We always hear this issue of taqwa. Taqwa does not mean that a person has to abandon his life and run into the mountains and live in some cave. Rather, taqwa means imtithalu awamirillah wajtinabu nawahi. Basically, it means at every moment, what does my Allah want of me? If I'm at home, in my business place, wherever I may be, what does Allah want for me? What should I be doing to please Allah? This is called taqwa. Quran Sharif says, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. That person who inculcates in him the taqwa, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Allah will make a way out for him from every difficulty. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide for a person from sources that the person least expects. Under the commentary of this verse in Tafsir ibn Kathir, and likewise other commentators as well, mention the incident of Auf bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Malik was the father, Auf was the son. Malik, the son Auf, had been taken captives by the enemies of Islam. So the father Malik approaches Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Malik was a person who was going through abject poverty, and now to add to his woes and his difficulties, his son, his beloved son, had been taken captive. So he comes to Allah's Nabi and tells Allah's Nabi, this is my situation. I have poverty on one hand, and on the other hand, my son has been taken captive by the enemies. So Allah's Nabi tells him, O Auf, go on being patient and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Auf goes back to Malik goes back to his home, and he tells his wife the instruction of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and both of them make sabr and they continue to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A short time later, the son, Auf, manages to escape from the enemy. And while he is escaping, he managed to take along with him a large flock of animals that belonged to the enemy. And now he returns to Medina Munawwara, and he comes to the home of his parents. He knocks at the door. His father, Malik, opens the door. And to his surprise, he finds not only is his son standing before him, returned to him safely, but with him he has brought this large amount of wealth. He greets his son and he tells his son that I will not take a single animal from here until I go to ask Allah's Nabi whether it is halal, it is permissible for me to take this. He goes to Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and explains the entire interim. Allah's Nabi says, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرُزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. O Malik, you feared Allah, you were patient. That person who fears Allah, has taqwa and is patient, Allah will remove all his difficulties. Allah has returned your son to him, to you. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. And Allah has provided for you this wealth from sources that you least expected. So when a person will develop the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the conscience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this will be a means for a person to acquire barakah in his wealth. And with that, my dear brothers, for us to acquire barakah in our wealth, we have to give up a life of sin. Sins bring many difficulties in the life of a person. The Hadith Sharif says, إِنَّ الرَّجُولَ لَيُحْرَمُ الرِّزْقَ بِالذَّنْبِ يُصِيبُ. A person is deprived of rosy, risk and sustenance because of the sins that he perpetrates. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullah alayhi, the famous scholar of the Ummah, he mentions discussing the harms of sins. He mentions amongst the harms of sins are hirmanu risk. Is that a person, by committing sins, the person is deprived of rosy, risk and sustenance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, فَكَمَا أَنَّ التَّقْوَى مَجْلَبَةٌ لِلْرِزْقِ. He says, just as we have discussed, taqwa is something that brings about barakah in a person's rosy, risk and sustenance. فَتَرْكُ التَّقْوَى مَجْلَبَةٌ لِلْفَقْرِ. He says, when a person does not have taqwa, he's living a life of sin, then this will bring about poverty in the life of a person. وَمَسْتُجْلِبَ رِزْقُ اللَّهِ بِمِثْلِ تَرْكِ الْمَعَاصِي. O kama qal, He says there is nothing more effective for a person to bring barakat into his wealth, to attract rosy, risk and sustenance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, than for a person to give up a life of sin. So give up a life of sin, and the promise is there that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us barakah, Allah will bless us in our financial lives. Added to that, my dear brothers, is the issue of istighfar. One is giving up a life of sin, and with that, repent and cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sincerely repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all the sins that we have committed in the past. The fawaid, the benefits of istighfar are too many to mention. مَنْ لَزِمَ الْإِسْتِغْفَارِ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ مِنْ كُلِّ ضِيقٍ مَخْرَجًا وَمِنْ كُلِّ هَمٍّ فَرَجًا وَرَزَقَهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that person who makes a lot of istighfar, sincerely, with his heart, body and soul, he repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his sin. Allah promises him that from every tight situation, Allah will make the way out for the person. وَمِنْ كُلِّ هَمٍّ فَرَجَا. And from every sad situation, Allah will bring happiness to the person. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ وَرَزَقَهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. And Allah will provide for the person from sources least expected. We read in Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala relates to us the da'wah of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. Nuh alayhi salam told his people, seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Certainly Allah is most forgiving. What will Allah do? يُسْرِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا. Allah will send down abundant rain from the sky. وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالِ وَبَنِينَ. Allah will increase your wealth. Allah will increase your children. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتِ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. And Allah will cause your orchards and your gardens to grow. And Allah will cause your rivers to flow. Under the commentary of this verse in Tafsir Qurtubi, is mentioned that once a person came to Hassan Basri Rahmatullah Ali. And he told Hassan, he came to complain to him about the lack of rain. So Hassan Basri replied to him, Istaghfirullah, seek Allah's forgiveness. A short while later, another person comes and he complains to him about his wife being barren and unable to bear children. Hazrat Hassan Basri advises him, Istaghfirullah, seek Allah's forgiveness. Another person comes and complains of poverty, faqr. He tells him, Istaghfirullah, seek Allah's forgiveness. Another person comes and complains that he says that our orchards are not bearing fruit. He says, Istaghfirullah, seek Allah's forgiveness. Another person comes and complains that the rivers are not flowing, the rivers are drying up. He says, Istaghfirullah, seek Allah's forgiveness. The students of Hassan Basri were sitting around him. They found this very, very weird. Different people coming with different problems, but the solution you're giving is one. So Hassan Basri says, I did not pull this out from my pocket. Rather, Allah tells us in Quran, فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. Seek Allah's forgiveness and Allah Ta'ala will solve all your problems. So abundantly, frequently and abundantly, sincerely, with our hearts, minds, bodies and souls, make istighfar and tawbah and repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will give us barakat in our lives. Then, my dear brothers, the other issue is the issue of being fair in our business dealings. Being upright, being honest, and being fair in our business dealings. The fact of the matter is today, many of the difficulties, the hardships that we face, one of the root causes for this is because today we as an ummah, a Muslim ummah, we have become unfair, we have become dishonest in our businesses. The hadith Sharif says, وَلَمْ يَنْقُسُ الْمِكَالُ وَالْمِزَانَ إِلَّا أُخِذُوا بِالسِّنِينَ وَشِدَّةِ الْمَؤُونَ وَجَوْرِ السُّلْطَانِ عَلَيْهِمْ. That when the Muslims begin to cheat in business, then what will happen? أُخِذُوا بِالسِّنِينَ. Allah will bring about famine and drought. وَشِدَّةِ الْمَؤُونَ. And then the cost of living will become very, very high. وَجَوْرِ السُّلْطَانِ عَلَيْهِمْ. And Allah Ta'ala will put in place such leaders and such rulers that will oppress and make zulm upon the believers. So one of the great the root causes for us to be facing our difficulties today, my dear brothers, is because of us cheating in our businesses. And amongst the harms of cheating in business is that Allah Ta'ala takes away the barakat, the blessings from the wealth of a person. The Hadith Sharif says, when two people do a contract, do a business, فَإِنْ صَدَّقَا وَفَإِنْ صَدَقَا وَبَيَّنَا بُورِكَ لَهُمَا فِي بِيْعِهِمَا. When two people are doing business, if they are upright, honest, lucid, open, apparent, not hiding anything, then they will attract barakat in that contract of theirs. The gains of that contract will be full of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But وَإِنْ كَذَبَا وَكَتَمَا مُحِكَتْ بَرَكَةُ بَيْهِمَا. But if the people cheat, and they deceive and they hide and they do not expose. Then Allah says, then the Hadith Sharif says, the barakat of that bay, of that contract will be snatched away by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's very, very important, my dear brothers. It's very, very important that when we do our business, do our businesses, we be upright, we be honest. When haram comes into our accounts, when haram enters our wealth, that haram, even though it may be a small amount, all the halal wealth that a person will acquire, this haram wealth will cause the barakat of that halal wealth to be taken away. So it's important that when we do our businesses, we be absolutely upright, honest, and do not cheat in any way whatsoever, and also stay away from those things that are doubtful. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us lives full of barakat and blessings. Allah give us wealth full of barakat and blessings. Allah save us from faqr. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on many occasions, he would make dua that, oh Allah, save us from poverty. We ask Allah to give us tawfiq.